Hello, sister. This is Denise with Far Above Podcast. I am so glad to be back with you today. It has been a while since I've recorded a new podcast. Things have come up, guests, family, health issues, but I am going to get back on track and every Sunday make a podcast episode. And so I apologize for being so distracted. Life has gotten in the way, but I'm back. And I just want to share with you, there's so much I want to talk about. Also, so much encouragement. And the Lord is doing so much in my life, and I'm so grateful. First off, I wanted to encourage you, if you have not gone to see the movie, The Jesus Revolution, I highly recommend it. I've seen it 3 times already. Every time I see something new and I'm encouraged. The first time that I watched it, we were coming back from watching it, and I was telling my husband that I really felt like the characters in the story that were the main focus were the hippies of the 70s that God just allowed to have an experience with Jesus in California, and then it spread throughout the world, and there was something called the Jesus Movement, and hippies all over were getting saved. And I really love the perspective of the movie, and the movie is, of course, going to go off it's based on a true story, but it's not exactly the way it happened 100%. If you're interested in knowing exactly how it happened, there is a book, I think it's called The Jesus Revolution by Greg Laurie. And then on YouTube, his wife, Kathy Laurie, was interviewed and she gave more perspective. But other than that, the basic bare bones of the facts of how it happened and who to whom it did happen was factual. So on the way back, I was telling my husband that I really believe that the hippies of today, the generation of today that is who I am praying for Jesus will bring another outpouring of his spirit upon, is of course Generation Z and the homosexual and transgender group. It's a different kind of group, but in reality, the heart issues I see are similar. They're looking for acceptance, security, significance. They're looking for a true experience with Jesus. They are not interested in religion, man-made traditions, and rules and regulations that are man-made and legalistic are not interesting to anybody. I mean, I'm not interested in that stuff either. And I'm just looking for a deep relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship where I experience a one-on-one encounter with him. And that has been found for me in my own personal revival and experience of just going back to the Word of God and time in prayer and looking for God in the passage of scripture that I read. And one of the people that has been a catalyst to that is, she doesn't even know I exist, but I have been blessed by her. I watched an interview Kurt Cameron did of Tara Lee Cobble. And she is the author and creator of the Bible Recap. And the Bible Recap really is just a Bible reading program that is chronological. But instead, she's come at it in a different way when you're reading the Word. A lot of times we're looking for things that I can find myself in the Scripture, and what is it that God is telling me, and how can I apply this to my life? And those are all good things. But she is encouraging her listeners to read the Bible with a perspective of looking for God. looking for his heart, looking for the things that he loves, looking for his character. And that has turned my reading upside down. I'm not very far in the program of reading chronologically, but what I've already done has revolutionized my time with him and my love for God and helped me see him in a new way. Not a God with rules and regulations, not a God that is harsh and looking for me to fail, not a God that is ready to just, you know, send a bolt of lightning and catch me doing something wrong. The heart of God is so beautiful, and he loves us. And throughout the scripture, it's him reaching out to us, his creation, for a relationship with us, deeply desiring a relationship with his creation, his children. And even in the midst of our mistakes and sin, he is after us, pursuing us in a loving relationship, creating a way for us to be redeemed. And he did that even at the beginning in the Garden of Eden. There was a part in Genesis where he had told Adam, I wasn't prepared to talk about this, and so I don't have the verse in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase. But when he was telling Adam that he did not want Adam to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was a phrase that he mentioned in there, and it was talking about when you eat of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. So it wasn't if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The phrase is when. So God knew. God is not limited. When we think, I kind of look at it in a timeline, and we are stuck in a particular area of this timeline. But God is not limited by time or space. He is omnipotent, omniscient. He is omnipresent. He's at the beginning and the end all at the same time. So he already knows what my tendencies are, what my sins are going to be. He already knew Adam and Eve were going to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And even in that, he had already made a plan for redemption for us. And it was through his precious son, Jesus, sending Jesus to be born of a virgin in a miraculous way, being born, living here on earth for 33 years, dying on the cross, taking on my sin, your sin, the whole world's sin, so that the sin issue that separates us from God and us and our relationship and not being able to be in a relationship with him because of the sin problem was taken care of at the cross. And then Jesus rising from the dead. You know, when we think about God in three persons, all in one, you know, this is something else I learned, was that God was there, Jesus was there, the Holy Spirit was there when the creation was formed, when the world was formed, when the first animal was formed, the first star, the sun, the moon, when Adam was formed. So, you know, God was there, God the Father, Jesus was the creator, and the Holy Spirit was the one hovering over the face of the waters. And each one has had a job to do, and he's done it. I mean, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that indwells in us. And Jesus told his disciples, I have to go so that I can give you a helper, a comforter. I'm amazed that while we were sinners, yet Christ died for us. You know, I don't know. I know it's probably the enemy that we think we got to clean ourselves up before we can even go before, you know, the Father and before asking for Jesus to come into our life. But that is false. You know, when the prodigal son, in the story of the prodigal father and the prodigal son, when the prodigal son came back to the father, you know, the father didn't say, hey, let's go get cozed down at the in the back of the you know, ranch or whatever, and let's get you cleaned up, and then let's get you the robe, and let's put the ring on you. No, he ran, and he put his arms around his son, who had just left the pig pen, and he said, bring a robe, bring a ring, let's kill the fatted calf, we're gonna have a party. My son that was dead has come back to life. He's alive. And that's a picture of our Heavenly Father, who's not expecting us to come clean and get it all right and then accept Jesus as our Savior and go to church all cleaned up. Church is a hospital for the sick. And if we as believers think that, you know, just like in the Jesus Revolution, spoiler alert, you know, you better be cleaned up and you better look this way and be this way before you set foot into the house of God. Well, that's not where God's going to reside. God is where the hospital, where the sick people are. He is waiting for us. He's so desperate for a relationship with us. It's mind-blowing to me that my God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, wants a relationship with me. He wants me to ask him questions and pray and seek him and read his word and live life with him involved. But he's not going to force himself. He's not going to, he's waiting patiently, just like the prodigal father was, waiting for the son to come to him. So God is waiting for us. And in this time that God has really just been cleaning me up, I mean, literally cleaning me up, you know, there are so many wounds and things that I'm still asking the Lord to heal me from and residue from my old life. And I've been desperate to be in a relationship with Jesus, hear more from him, be involved with him. And in the process, you know, there are so many things, like there's nothing new under the sun. The same things have been happening from the beginning of time. Now they're just repackaged. They're shrouded in Christianese, that there are some practices even that have been accepted in the Christian church and in Christian circles that I got wrapped up in. And if it wasn't for a dear friend who gently and lovingly asked me to prayerfully seek the Lord, that what I was getting involved with, just to show me if it was wrapped in New Age ideology and philosophy, and her loving words to ask the Father. And I'm grateful that I'm in a place where I'm desperate for God to clean me up, and I said, yes, God, show me. Am I getting wrapped up in some New Age stuff that's been allowed in the Christian church? I did some research. I looked up the new word New Age. I researched what are some of the New Age practices that are accepted in Christianity. And yes, lo and behold, God showed me that I had indeed been opening myself up to some New Age practices wrapped up in a beautiful bow. And the name on the bow said Jesus, but it was definitely not biblical, not safe, and could have led me down a deeper rabbit trail away from Jesus and what I was really looking for. And so when I watched that interview with Tara Lee Cobble and her talking about the Bible recap and the purpose of it, I just jumped. I said, okay, I know, God, that what I've got to do is stick to your word. Your word is truth. This is where I can find you. And maybe I just haven't been spending enough time in your word. Maybe I just haven't been spending enough time soaking in your presence, because the Bible is the only book that exists in existence today or has ever existed that is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce to the depths of bone and marrow. And it's the book that I can read it over and over and over, and the Holy Spirit in his wisdom and teaching and guiding will show me new things, new truths. I can never read it enough. I can never spend enough time in it. And I have seen that happen. And so God was gracious to open my eyes and pull me out of that and bring me to the truth, which was God's word, that I needed to be soaked and just infused in it. And it's been beautiful. And I have experienced a deeper relationship and an opening of an understanding of who God is, who my Father is, and who I am, because I'm his daughter, and the inheritance that comes with that. So that's just part of what God's been doing in my life. I mean, he has been showing me that he has a lot of things he needs to clean up in me. And I can leave my precious children, my prodigals, in his hand. And he's just like, keep my eyes, Denise, just keep your eyes on me and let me take care of you. And I've got your kids, you know, I've got them. And there's such peace in that. Now, have I had days where I just cry out to God for my children's healing and wholeness and the scales of their eyes to fall off and them to see God for who he is and how much he loves them so desperately, and the things of this world are not going to compare or be able to bring them the security, significance, and acceptance that they are deeply longing for? Nothing. No relationship, no person, no thing, no drug, no alcohol, nothing. And that, you know, I want that for them. But, you know, I've got to give that to the Lord. And it's a daily thing. But I see him working, and I'm so grateful. And I just keep focusing and keeping my eyes on him. And so today, I just wanted to share with you what God has been doing. Highly recommend Jesus Revolution. Go and see that. Take a friend. Ask your children, your prodigal, if they will go with you to the movies, if you have a relationship with them. And then the Bible Recap. Look that up. It is, there's a podcast, there's a website. You don't need to buy any books. You can just print out her chronological Bible reading program and then read using your Bible. She recommends the ESV, but it doesn't matter what translation. And then you can listen to her podcast, The Bible Recap, and she recaps the Bible and kind of gives you a God shot, which is her take on what it is that she saw that day. And then, well, for me, I wanted some helps, more deeper. I wanted to go deeper because I know what I need. And so I bought a journal that has extra questions. I bought a different journal that I could write what God showed me that day, what takeaway I had, and then my God shot. And then I listened to the Bible Recap podcast, and it's been transformative for me. And so today I wanted to close in our prayer time. I wanted to pray over our prodigals, Psalm 51 in the Amplified Version, and just let you know that, you know, God is working. And I enjoy Karen Wheaton. She is a precious sister in the Lord. I enjoy her Wednesday Front Porch Friends live YouTube time that she does. And so one of the ones that she just posted, it was talking about every small victory, every time you see God working in your prodigal's life, or God gives you just a little encouragement, showing you that he is at work and he's got the situation. It's a time of rejoicing and celebration. And I've been doing that, and it's just been so faith boosting and encouraging to me, that even if it's just a little thing that I see him working in my prodigal's lives and in my life, I am celebrating and I'm praising the Lord for that. And it's just such a joy to live in gratitude. There is healing and there is peace in living in gratitude. So I pray that you can find something to thank the Lord for every day and celebrate the small wins, because they are big. So let's go ahead and close in praying Psalm 51. And if you will agree with me for my prodigals and for yours, we can pray in one accord, and there's power and agreement, and our prayers are making a difference. Let's go before the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us, and that we can't even begin to understand how deep your love is, how wide your deep and wide and deep your love is for us. But we thank you for it, even though we don't fully understand it. We receive it. We are here, Father, in your presence. Thank you that there is fullness of joy and that you are with us. We're never alone. You said that you promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for your truth found in your word, and that it is washing and renewing our minds, and that in your word, as Tara Lee Cobble says, that's where the joy is. And so, Father, I come before you and invite your presence right now in this prayer time, as my sister and I agree for our prodigals in one accord, for you to be working in their lives. We agree and pray Psalm 51. We pray that you would have mercy on our prodigals, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out our prodigals' transgressions. Wash them thoroughly from their wickedness and guilt, and cleanse them from their sin. For our prodigals are conscious of their transgressions. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show them their need for a Savior and their sinfulness. And I pray that our prodigals would acknowledge their sin, and their sin would always be before them, that they would find no joy in sin, Father, that it would just be a joyless experience in sin. I ask that against you and only you, my prodigals and my sister's prodigals have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And so that you are justified when you speak and faultless in your judgment, God. Our prodigals were brought forth in wickedness, sin from their mother, as in sin their mother conceived them. They were already sinful, and from the beginning they too were sinful. Behold, your desire, you desire truth in our prodigal's inward being, and in the hidden part of their hearts, you make them know wisdom. Thank you, Father. Purify our prodigals with hyssop, and they will be clean. Wash them, and they will be whiter than snow. Make our prodigals hear joy and gladness, and be satisfied. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from our prodigals' sins, and blot out their iniquities. Create in our prodigals a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within them. Do not cast our prodigals from your presence, and do not take away your Holy Spirit from them. Restore to our prodigals the joy of your salvation, and sustain them with a willing spirit. Then, this is one of my favorite parts, then our prodigals will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and return to you. Rescue our prodigals from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of our prodigal salvation. Father, for those that have already come to know you, restore the joy of their salvation. For those that have not known you yet and known your Son as their Lord and Savior, we ask that you draw them to Jesus. And then our prodigal's tongues will sing joyfully of your righteousness and your justice. O Lord, open our prodigal's lips that their mouth may declare your praise, for you do not delight in sacrifice, or else our prodigals will give it to you. You are not pleased with burnt offering. Your only sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, broken with sorrow for sin, thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are at work. You know the beginning from the end, and you're already there. Thank you that Jesus, it says in John, I don't know exactly where, but the scripture is that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So I thank you, Jesus, that you already overtook the enemy, that our prodigals are already, the victory has been won for them, and we are praying in victory. We're praying not for victory, but from the victory of you, Jesus. We claim that victory for our prodigals. We claim that victory for our families. We claim that victory for ourselves. And we pray Psalm 51 for ourselves, my sister and I. Clean us up. Restore the joy of our salvation. Let us have broken and contrite hearts before you, God, because you will not despise that. And as you continue to work on us, we trust our prodigals in your hand once again, that you're at work and you're redeeming their lives from the pit and placing them on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And those that don't know you, that they will come. We call them forth in the name of Jesus. We call our prodigals to come to life in the name of Jesus. We call forth that our prodigals' eyes, the scales of their eyes would be removed, the hard hearts would be removed and replaced with hearts of flesh that are tender for you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. Open the eyes of all of our hearts, our prodigals, my sister and I, for your glory, for our good, our prodigals' good, and the good of the church. We thank you, Father, and we seal this prayer and hand it to you and know that you've got it and it's already done. And we thank you for the answer and the results. In your time and in your way, we will see our prodigal coming home, and we will run and put our arms around them and put a ring on them and a robe and have a party, Lord, and it'll be such a beautiful time. And all of this, it'll be wonderful to see what you've done in us and in them. So we thank you, Father, and we praise you. We give you all the glory and honor. It's in your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, sister, for joining me on Far Above. I hope that it has been an encouragement to you today. Please know that I will get back on track and I will be posting new episodes every Sunday. Please subscribe and go ahead and make sure to click on that little bell so that you don't miss an episode. Share this with a friend. If you know someone that is struggling, that has a prodigal, that can be encouraged, please send this to them and post it on your social media, whatever you feel you'd like to do. I just want to be an encouragement to others as we walk this journey hand in hand. We are not alone. We're together, and we are to remember that Jesus is living far above all principalities and powers, and he's brought us such victory, and he's given us everything we need to fight the spiritual battle, everything we need for life and godliness. So let us encourage one another in that and keep looking for our prodigal's return. Have a great Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.